it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Packers are first and goal, 5-yard line of Washington off a 14-yard scramble by quarterback Jordan Love. Love takes, looks, throws slant, right side, touchdown, Romeo Dobbs! Got the slant on Mike Thainristill, the second-year cornerback, and the Packers on the board first, leading 6-0.
Thank you to the Packers Radio Network. Packers would go on to win 27-18, Pearl off. And while we played you that highlight of the offense, the story for the Packers really was the defense last night, in my opinion. Micah Parsons proves to be a massive finishing piece, it looks like, for this team. Jaden Daniels had no time, nowhere to go with the ball. It was a dominant performance, even if the score doesn't really indicate that.
Yeah, I came out of that game. I was wondering, was the camera just focusing on Micah Parsons and were we just talking about Micah Parsons so much? Was that why he seemed so dominant? But it seemed to me like every time Jaden Daniels dropped back, Micah Parsons' impact was felt almost every single time. That was crazy impressive to me. I'm totally jumping the gun on this team. Like, that looks like a Super Bowl formula because their offense is also good. I think right now, as good as the offense is, the defense is ahead of the offense. Like, the offense is really, really good. Jordan Love looks like a star quarterback. Josh Jacobs is a great running back. But I say right now, the strength of that team is the defense.
I'm going to 100% agree with you. Yeah. I think the defense is, I think the offense is good. I don't think they're great yet. Now, they have room to grow. This is a wide receiver room that unfortunately lost Jaden Reed last night to a broken collarbone. He's going on IR. But he'll be back for a playoff run, no doubt. It's not a star-laden receiver core, and their tight end, Tucker Kraft, had more receiving yards last night than any Green Bay tight end it had in a decade. But it's a good offense. I don't think it's great. The defense is great. The reason why the scores have been closer than what the games look like, to me, feels like it's actually on the offense more than the defense. You know, the offense, there are times, and there were moments even in last night's game. Now I'm nitpicking after a win on Green Bay, but there were times when they really could have put some distance between themselves and the Commanders offensively, and they just, for some reason, couldn't do it. It felt weird this was a one-score game in the fourth quarter because the defense was lights out.
Well, I think Matt LaFleur just starts running the ball like crazy once he has a lead. I mean, that same thing, didn't it? Week one against Detroit, they won 27-13.
Yep.
Did that feel like a 40-7 game? That was a blowout that somehow ended up close. They've scored 27 points both games, ironically. I do wonder, I actually had this thought, a Super Bowl winning team tends to blow out other teams. There's a lot of statistical data behind that. And these have not been blowouts. Is that an indictment of this offense? I just think Matt LaFleur is pretty conservative. I mean, it's funny because he's a guy who came up through the fancy McVay Shanahan tree. But I think he likes to hand the ball off 30 times last night. That's a lot in an NFL game. I mean, they might be the heaviest rushing team in the league by the time it's all done.
See, I thought the third quarter is probably where they could have put some distance against themselves, between themselves and the Commanders, but the offense couldn't really do it. So Washington misses a field goal before halftime. So you go into halftime and it's only 14-3, even though it felt a lot bigger than that. Then Washington, out of the half, goes on a 7-play drive where they missed yet another field goal.
Yeah.
Green Bay counters with a field goal of their own. Washington goes 3-and-out, but then Green Bay went 3-and-out. When you're 17-3 and you're getting the ball back with, you know, 5 minutes left to go in the quarter, the fact that you went 3-and-out there, I thought was a little, again, I'm nitpicking here after a win, but those are the moments where you wonder, how did you find yourselves weirdly in this dogfight of a game in the fourth quarter when you had no business being there?
Killing clock. You're running the ball.
Yeah, but if it's a one-yard run, and then you're an incompletion on 3rd and 8, that is not a way to kill the clock.
That's how NFL coaches are wired to do this. Like, Washington knows they're going to run in that situation. So, by the way, Washington had a guy, Javon Kinlaw, was destroying the run. Like, Washington's defense might be pretty good.
Yeah.
I actually didn't even know. I don't know why we didn't even talk about it, that Javon Kinlaw landed in Washington. They actually are probably pretty good against a run. Like, normally, your offensive line would start to wear on them, and they would break some of those runs. They just couldn't do it last night. But I think Matt LaFleur is just fine with that because he did it in week one, and, hey, they're 2-0.
Are the Packers the team to beat in the NFC? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. And then I know this is a little painful here for Cowboys fans, but it's like a Micah party. It's like a Micah Parsons party in Green Bay. And there were a lot of Cowboy fans, Pearl, who called this show after the Parsons trade and said, good riddance, get him out. Can't stop the run with him. Can't stop it without him. He's not going to help us. But I can't imagine this feels good, where he goes to one of your rivals and has looked as good as he has in just two games.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's this year's Saquon Barkley, right? Saquon Barkley left the Giants, the Eagles go to the Super Bowl. Micah might be doing the same thing, but I'll go back to Saquon Barkley wasn't helping the Giants last year, and I don't know if Micah Parsons was the difference between a Super Bowl and a non-Super Bowl for the Cowboys. So even if they just run the table, Maggie, I don't care if they go 20-0 and win the Super Bowl, that doesn't not by itself mean trading him was the wrong idea.
Doesn't look great. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I mean, he's going to be... Is he already the front runner for Defensive Player of the Year?
I feel like he's the only person in the entire discussion.
Well, it's only been 2 weeks, but still.
I was going to play two games.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously. But,
you know, it hasn't even been 2 weeks. You're right. It's been.
And he played 29 snaps the first game. It's not even like he was in a full workload there.
I mean, Myles Garrett had a pretty fun start, too.
But they're going to win four games this year, the Browns.
Yeah, I don't know, but Myles Garrett has won it once already. I think you could probably. Hey, by the way, you say they're going to win four games. They should be 1-0. So I don't know. We don't count out Myles Garrett. If he actually plays like he did in week one, I don't care if they go 0-18. He was unbelievable.
Actually, this is going to be Green Bay's next opponent. They go to Cleveland, which is going to be interesting. So a little Micah Parsons, Myles Garrett battle, which is pretty cool. 888-710-4ISN. Is Micah Parsons' success with the Packers a reflection on Jerry at all? You saw some fans had put up a sign, thank you, Jerry, outside of Lambeau Field.
They were chanting it after the game, post-game on Thursday night, on the coverage of Thursday Night Football.
Wow, you hung around for the post-game
show? No, I just saw it on Twitter.
Okay. It's like, man, you got to go to bed, man.
No, I definitely did. Definitely
not to
did.
Sound like your mom or something, but like,
no,
get some sleep.
No, your boy was asleep.
Yeah, for the love of all things holy. Let's get to this weekend's NFL games. Okay. How we're going to do this, on Mondays we do the NFL in 60 where we recap every NFL game in a minute. Today we're going to preview every NFL Week 2 game in a minute. EJ will set us up. We'll knock it down. Go ahead, EJ.
All right, let's get it started here with Bills going to MetLife against the New York Jets. Maggie, EJ Bowl.
Yeah, I know. We should put something on this, EJ. But this is my concern as a Bills fan. People are asking me trap game. I'm like, it's not a trap game necessarily, with a big letdown maybe after their comeback win over the Baltimore Ravens. It's just the Jets also run the ball extremely well. The Jets offensive line looked really good against that Pittsburgh Steelers defense. They were running the ball at will. So that's what I'm concerned about, Pearl, that, you know, possessing the ball, and the Bills were getting gashed by the run. So yeah, there's a legit concern here.
As I told you guys, I missed a chunk of that game on Sunday. I went back and I saw it again. It was on the NFL Network. The Jets have a problem, and EJ told me about it. Their cornerback, Brandon Stevens, he led the league in targets, being targeted last week. And I feel like Josh Allen is going to... It doesn't matter where they try and hide that guy. Josh Allen is going to pick on him.
Yeah, why'd they give him $30 million off in the offseason?
Oh, you're asking me, Maggie. I wish I knew.
What's next?
All right, let's go to Cincinnati, where the 1-0 Jaguars will face the Bengals.
Did you know the Bengals had 7 yards in the second half last week against Cleveland? This is something really strange. You've talked about it all week. That was one of the strangest offensive performances. They could not protect Joe Burrow. We know about the Bengals' defense being the problem. The defense looked fine. I mean, it was against a bad Cleveland team. So I'm curious, can the Jags get a pass rush going here and torture Joe Burrow?
I got my eye on what's going on with Travis Hunter. They said they're going to play him more defensive snaps. Well, good luck with Jamar Chase. Like, is he going to actually be matched up against any of the great... Yeah, I mean...
There's no way they match him up on the outside with either of those guys, Higgins or Chase.
Any rookie, even one as highly touted as Travis Hunter, that'd be an impossible assignment.
It's Manny's Cowboys versus Manny's Giants. Big Blue takes on America's team in Dallas.
Let's just start dart. I don't know why Brian Daboll is doing this thing. Why is he waiting so long? I guess maybe he's not seeing enough from dart behind the scenes. Manny's Cowboys. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got a stroke on the air.
How dare you, honestly.
But I think the Cowboys are going to win this one easily. They've kind of had the Giants number for
a while. How dare you?
Two streaks that I love. 13 straight for Dak Prescott over the Giants, which is amazing. And the one that I'm really curious about, I think I have this right, they haven't started out 0-2 since 2010.
The Giants?
The Cowboys.
Oh, I was about to say, that's not possible.
These streaks don't look good for the Giants. If Russell Wilson was able to snap both those, I'd be shocked.
We got a battle of some 0-1 teams in the NFC North. Chicago goes to Detroit to face on the Lions.
Oh, my God. This one is huge for both teams, because these are the two bad narratives coming out of week one. Will Caleb Williams continue to struggle? But for me, this is the get right game for Detroit. I think, and I said this all show, Washington and Detroit ran into a buzzsaw in that Packers defense. And I think all the panic about losing their offensive coordinator and another big offensive coach is overstated, because Green Bay, what they did to Detroit last week, I think Detroit gets its offense fixed here, Maggie.
Do you know what the spread is on this game? I was shocked when I saw it.
So what is it?
Six.
Six? Wait, you think it'd be bigger or smaller?
Smaller.
Why?
I thought people were still high on the Chicago Bears. I mean, it did not look good, obviously, outside of the first 10 passes that Caleb completed. I was a little surprised that this is such a big spread. And you know what's going to happen? This snowball might start rolling here for the Chicago Bears in a bad way, where if they lose badly to the Lions, and then are you talking about the marriage between Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, and how is this going to fit? And I don't love this for the Bears.
What did the Bears win total? Like 7.5? I don't think there was.
They were a sexy playoff team.
No, not really. Now, did you pick them? I don't know. I might have too. Okay.
All right, let's go to Tennessee, where Cam will be making his debut in front of the Titans faithful. Titans host the Rams on Sunday.
There is nobody that needs to have a cleaner game than Brian Callahan. He's coming off of a week where the Titans coach did not know one of the most, I would say, obvious rules, but this was not like one deep in the rule book. We all know that, you know, another body part equals 2 feet, elbow equals 2 feet, one butt cheek equals 2 feet. Everyone knows this, and somehow Brian Callahan did not. They have got to play a clean game here. I think this is a gettable game for Tennessee. The Rams' defense is fantastic, but the Titans left a lot on the field. They could have beaten the Broncos last week, Pearl. They were in position and just could not like get out of their own way.
This is why coaches don't like press conferences, because you pick apart everything they say. Like Brian Callahan's probably could be like, oh man, I should go Andy Reid and just say nothing at all. But I don't know why you're high on the Titans. They can't catch the football. Their receivers are awful.
Their defense is good though. Better than I thought.
Yeah, you've seen one game of this defense. Against a Broncos team that didn't, first of all, their offense is inconsistent already. Like, what did the Broncos offense do in the playoffs last year? So I think you're overestimating this. I feel pretty good about the Rams.
Watch out, Patriots. The Dolphins have had a players only meeting. The Dolphins will be hosting the Patriots in South Florida on Sunday.
Okay. How is Miami favored in any game after that debacle in Indianapolis last week? The fact I saw it, by the way, it's listed at 1.5 on ESPN Bet. I saw it just at 2.5 on DraftKings now. It's moving towards the Dolphins. I understand the talent, but I'm having trouble making my eyes match what I saw last week and projecting that forward. I know New England didn't look good at all either, but come on, Miami's given up.
It's possible that there are two coaches in the state of Florida that may be coaching their last game this weekend if things go badly. Mike McDaniel and Billy Napier. It's possible Mike McDaniel, if they lose,
pretty
I think
early.
He's out.
Pretty early to fire coach. I don't know.
Sometimes you want to do it early when you realize, like, all right, maybe we could salvage the season if we just had a different voice.
Week two?
I thought the Patriots also, they just did not look how I thought it was going to look week one. I'm curious to see what happens. It's not good for these Northeast teams to go down to South Florida early in the season. It's so hot. They get so drained. I think that's why the Patriots are the underdogs.
Yeah, good point.
Who's next, EJ?
Return return of the Mac. Mac Jones heads to New Orleans. It's the 49ers taking on the Saints.
This is the Perloff Bowl. No, I'm just kidding.
This is the ultimate system quarterback experiment. In, unfortunately, I don't even think it's a real system quarterback argument because the debate is, can Kyle Shanahan make anybody good? Could he make Mac Jones, who struggled, who's actually had moments in his career? The problem is he has no one to throw to because everybody else is hurt in San Francisco. I mean, what are you supposed to do here? Ricky Pearsall, I guess, is healthy for now. I feel like everybody, and McCaffrey had 31 touches last week. I feel like the weapons for Mac Jones are being held together by glue. I feel like this whole thing could fall apart offensively. I trust their defense.
Yeah, I could just feel like this could happen with San Francisco. Let's say you lose this game. You might lose this game. A little panic sets in, and then is Brock Purdy trying to get back too quickly, and does that lead to more injuries? Like, I just, I feel like there's sneaky a lot on this game. You're right, more for the offense than the defense.
The home debut for Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh, the Steelers will be hosting the Seahawks flying across country.
It's going to be an interesting game. The Steelers were able to move the ball well against the Jets defense. They are not going to have that same, we don't think, going to have enjoy that same kind of luxury against Seattle, Pearl. Seattle's defense is really good. What do they always say? Defenses travel. Do we see like an Aaron Rodgers 4-touchdown game? I don't think so. I think this is going to end up being a 1-score game late. And then I would trust Aaron Rodgers a lot more than Sam Darnold in that spot. But I think it's going to be a tight game.
So we talked about the Jets, Brandon Stevens, struggling week one. The Seahawks had, I mean, one person cost him this game. It was Reek Woolen was a disaster. Mike McDonald wouldn't commit whether he's going to keep him on the team or not. Like, it got that bad already after week one. I expect Aaron Rodgers, they're going to test him from the moment the game starts. Seattle, there was a lot of hype around Seattle. Like, a lot of analytics experts are like, this is could be the best defense in the league. If they go 0-2, that is really problematic for them. It's not even about Darnold. It's about that run game was a disaster against San Francisco. They just got nothing going at all. Pittsburgh can't stop the run. So for me, there's a lot of pressure on Seattle to actually do what they set out to do this year, which is be a run defense team.
Joe Flacco returns to Baltimore for the first time since being jettisoned from the Ravens. Browns travel to Baltimore to face those Baltimore Ravens.
So Joe Flacco was good last week. He really was. He had the third highest PFF rating on the entire offense. He had two picks that were completely on the receivers. He looks like a very capable NFL quarterback. I know that sounds weird, but Joe Flacco is not the problem.
Well, that's fine, but Baltimore is going to destroy that. They have to. I mean, after what happened on Sunday night, where you let that 15-point lead slip away in the last 4 minutes, Baltimore has a lot of pride. They have to get some things fixed up on defense here. This 11.5-point spread, it's really big for an NFL game, but I think that the Ravens have to send a message here, no?
Yeah, but the Ravens were awesome last year. Didn't the Browns beat them? I think early in the season.
With what, Deshaun Watson?
I think it was a Jameis game. I have to double check that. I can't remember.
No, Jameis was later. It was snowing when Jameis came in.
Maybe it was later in the season. I feel like, I know Jameis beat the Steelers. Did he beat somebody beat the Ravens. Maybe
by the
it was
way,
Deshaun.
The Browns are calling out Derrick Henry. Grant Delpit said he's not that hard to tackle. Derrick Henry ran for 200 yards and 3 scores against them last year. Dude, what? You are picking the wrong fight.
Daniel Jones coming off a career game in week one, hosts the Colts as they face, well, rather, you know, plays for the Colts. He's hosting the Broncos, who travel to Indianapolis this week.
And thus ends the Daniel Jones experiment. The Indiana Jones, this is going to look a lot different. I think that it was all a mirage and fool's gold week one. Daniel Jones was going up against a Miami Dolphins team that, like, was not trying. They just did not show up in that game. It looked like this is going to be a wake-up call.
You know, the thing about Shane Steichen is he always wins games even when the quarterback doesn't play well. So you don't need Daniel Jones to do what he did last week. Like, Indianapolis can run the ball, too. I think that's where I watch Jonathan Taylor in this one, because you're right. Denver's pass rush, once it gets going downhill, we saw last night with Micah Parsons, like, Denver's pass rush is like that. So I think if Indy can run the ball, they can stay in the game. Otherwise, I like the Broncos, too.
Home debut for the Cardinals this season. They face the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, my God. We haven't talked about the pressure. Like, it sort of came and went because of the rain delay last week. Bryce Young looked awful.
Yep.
And we had so much excitement about him coming into this year after the second half of last season. That had to be incredibly deflating for the Panthers fans. And, you know, I don't know if I feel like right now they feel like they did 2 years ago. Like, this is a W on your schedule when you have the Panthers coming to town.
Yeah, I thought about it with the Survivor pool and the Survivor picks. Like, is this one of those years where you're just kind of going against, you're picking all of the Panthers opponents? Not they're going to go 0-17, but this also for the Cardinals is a great spot for them. Great spot to go up 2-0. You know, if they can win here, they're going to hold their own in the NFC West, at least for now. You got San Francisco's wounded. Seattle, we're not sure. They're traveling cross country. Rams are on the road. It's going to be a good, nice little spot here for Arizona.
Cardinals always start out like with a house on fire. They're always 7-3 and then they blow it. So even if they do go 2-0 here, because they did not look great last week against New Orleans.
America's game of the week in a Super Bowl rematch. The Kansas City Chiefs host the Philadelphia Eagles, defending champs.
As an Eagles fan, I'm looking at this more of an exhibition game, a preseason game. We got some things to work out. Kansas City is going to be a desperate house on fire. Eagles playing with house money. Honestly, that sounds so strange, but all the pressure's on KC. They cannot fall to 0-2 because they'll already be two games behind in the AFC West because they dropped that game to the Chargers. They have the Ravens coming up in week 4. And Rashee Rice is out to week 6. Xavier Worthy is playing, but it looks like he's all messed up in his shoulder. I think there's a lot of pressure on Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
I think that the Chiefs is going to be the big week 1 overreaction that everyone had, the fall from grace of the Chiefs. I imagine Andy Reid, they're going to regroup. They're going to pick themselves up. The Chargers, that was their Super Bowl. It was this weird game in Brazil. I don't think you can take a lot from that. So I'm expecting the Chiefs in a big bounce back spot. And EJ, why don't we do the Monday night games? We'll do those on Monday.
Yeah, and we have Sunday night football to close here.
Last one.
So we got last one here. Where would you rather be? Apparently for J.J. McCarthy, this week's going to be in Minnesota because they'll be hosting the Falcons.
You know, J.J. McCarthy got a lot of hype coming off of last week's game. He really didn't do much.
He was terrible through three quarters. Yeah. He was awesome in the fourth.
So it's funny. There's some former players actually who are wondering, like, hey, what's with all the J.J. McCarthy hype? He's got a lot to prove here. I can't believe the Falcons didn't win that week 1 game. Like, the Falcons are always the same team, Maggie. A lot of talented players. We love Penix. We love Bijan. Don't cut that, Manny. We love Bijan Robinson, but they seem to find a way to lose.
Curious if Michael Penix can have any more success against Brian Flores than any of these other young quarterbacks, because he puts dudes in a blender. And Penix is the starter now, but didn't take over till late in the season. So still getting his sea legs under him, obviously. And Flores can just be very disruptive on those dudes.
Can I go back to one game, by the way?
Of course.
The Browns played Baltimore in week 8. They were 1-6 coming into the game, and Jameis torched them for a 29-24 win. The Browns have these sneaky AFC North wins. And I know we're all doing a survivor pool, and a lot of people are picking Baltimore.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you do not ever know what a Joe Flacco Browns team is going to do.
Wait, but wasn't that game in Cleveland?
That game was in Cleveland, yeah.
Okay, well, this one's in Baltimore. It's going to be
Baltimore drops early season games. They always do it. It's bizarre.
You're right. It'd be the worst loss of the weekend by far. I mean, they're the biggest spread.
Close. I'm just saying, to think that this is going to automatically be one of those Baltimore early season blowouts. Remember, they would kill people early in the year, but then they'd lose a game they shouldn't. I'm just saying that don't be that confident in your survivor pick, Maggie, and mine, by the way, too.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. All right, is Jerry Jones ever going to live down the Micah Parsons trade after what we saw last night on Thursday Night Football? He was everywhere. Packers win 27-18. Coming up at the top of the hour, Nick Costos will join us from You Better You Bet. You want to win some money.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Stick around.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie, there was an off-air production meeting with me and Andrew Bogish.
What'd you guys decide?
Well, we've been bickering a lot. We were thinking about, do you remember on ESPN, John Clayton and Sean Salisbury used to just openly fight?
Yeah.
That we lean into it. Because basically the two Andrews, we're now the old men and the Muppets in the corner, but we snipe at each other. So instead of like resolving our obvious conflicts, that we just fight every break? How do you, as a somebody who's been in this industry, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm all here for it, especially because I get a front row view. What's funny about it is you guys just fundamentally see sports in two very different ways. So it's extremely genuine, and you're just, your approaches are just very different.
We should get them in a boxing ring. Do you think legal will give that okay?
That's the other thing. One of the many things Andrew and I share is we have no interest in doing anything like that. No. I can speak for
it. Well...
is Rich Ackerman around?
Easy.
Mike Tyson was just in our building. I could have asked him for a tip or two before.
That's so funny, Bogues. You don't strike me as a fighter.
You've changed things.
By the way, I don't know if Bogues was, this was going to be in your match. I know our pal Zach Gelb is out in Las Vegas right now for the big Canelo Alvarez Terrence Crawford fight. Raise a hands who's ordering that thing.
Well, we have to order it. It's on Netflix.
Oh, right. It's on Netflix. What are we talking about? This is going to break all types of records, I bet.
I can't wait.
Fake records.
Maybe, but they're still going to tout a really big number.
Vamos, Canelo, vamos, vamos, vamos.
Oh, no, no. This is Crawford's household here.
Man, it's a good...
I'm Mexican, bro.
This is actually a good fight. This is really good fight. The story writes itself. This is, you know, boxing, the only thing that really gets our attention these days is Mike Tyson fighting a Paul brother, or, you know, now he's going to fight Mayweather, or these celebrity boxing stunts. This is an actual real fight, Pearl, that is between two awesome boxers, one going up two weight classes, so that's always interesting.
All right, so I'll be that guy, because I've gained some weight recently. If we're going to, you know, bring that fight into our fight here, I was going to ask who should be Canelo, who should be Crawford between me and Perloff. Whoever has gained weight recently, I'll take that guy.
Whoever has to go up in weight class, yeah. Crawford? Okay.
Because yes. I might outweigh Perloff at this point, so...
You've gained weight?
Yeah.
Anyone noticed this?
I have. That's all that matters.
Has your wife noticed?
I'm looking at you now. You look exactly the same.
Yeah, you look the same, both.
Exactly the same.
No, I mean, I've been gaining weight. It's all around my hip section. Yeah. What do they call that, a tire?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Manny, you just asked, did your wife say anything to you?
Yeah. Did your wife notice? Has your wife noticed? Has she said anything?
You can't do that as a significant other.
No.
That's a must-lie situation.
No, when I see myself and get mad, and she goes, no, it's okay, I'm like, you have to say that.
What do you think? I've lost 30 pounds over the last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like, this is marriage. You are contractually obligated by whatever state certified your union to lie to the other person about how they look.
Oh, so that's... Oh,
no, I thought it was one way.
It's a must-lie situation.
Well, I thought you only lie to the woman.
What
kind of man cares if you call him fat?
Well, I'm just saying, if Bogus asked his wife, ask Katie, yeah, do I look fat?
Yes.
Why would she say yes?
Because women don't do that to men. Men do that to women, right?
Women can be shallow, though.
But I think it's the same rules apply either way. You guys would not tell your wives and girlfriends, yes, you look fat.
Absolutely not.
A million years.
Not in a million years. Why would I say that to my husband? I'll tell him, you look great. I'll tell him, you look awesome. I'm not going to be like, you know, the only thing I'll say to my husband is like, hey, I think you need a haircut. That's it. It's the only comment I would ever make.
But I also feel like it's far more common for a woman to go, oh, I look terrible, hoping that we say something nice. Like, I don't think a lot of men are standing in a mirror going,
fishing for compliments.
Right. Or even legitimately having, like, concerns about the way they look.
Mm. Well, you think about it.
There's less chances for you to say, yeah, tubby, like, have some salad.
You think about the classic sitcom, yeah, the wife is always making fun of the husband's appearance.
That's not real life.
How so?
Does Sarah tell you that, does she comment on your appearance?
She's never said anything nice. Like, she's not like, wow, your pecs are looking shredded. No, like, she would never say something like that. Not in a million years would she compliment my appearance.
Really?
She'll say an outfit looks nice, but she's not going to talk about my body. No, that'd be weird.
Well, here's the other thing, though. Yeah. If you know the person is really spending a lot of time and effort, like you've looked exactly the same since the day I met you over a decade ago.
No, Sarah would never comment that.
Well, like, say you lost 30 pounds or something.
Okay. She would not.
How is he going to lose 30 pounds?
Well,
he's already 120.
For instance.
Respectfully.
But I don't know. I just feel like it's a one-way street where famously you lie to women about how they look.
And by the way, men, keep that up.
But men don't even know. We're idiots. That's the other thing.
I think there is one nuance, though, is that if there is something that I should have noticed on Andrea that I didn't, and I let her go out looking crazy, she will blame me.
Right.
And I could have said,
how could you have told me that I have something on the back of my pants?
Yeah, or like this shirt is like whatever, like, or like, you know,
wrinkly.
Yeah, like I'd be like,
right.
I'm not going to comment on your appearance in a negative way.
But if she came home with a different hair color and was like, what do you think of it? If you were like,
that happened once. I didn't go. And no, she accident, like, so she ordered hair when she got her hair braided over the summer, and it was a lot more red than she expected.
Okay.
So she just didn't say anything. And then I saw her and she's like, yeah, it's a lot more red than I thought.
And you have to be like, I love it.
Yeah. I mean, it was fine. I didn't dislike it. She was the one that actually disliked it more than I did.
Right.
But I was like, you look like a WNBA player. You look cool.
It's a nice compliment.
Yeah. And yeah, she's like, I know. Well, but
which
still.
WNBA player?
Yeah.
No, I just in general. I feel like all the WNBA women, they all have these like very colorful braids.
I'm telling you guys, must lie situation. Keep up the lies.
But it's okay because I have done this. I have this confidence now. Like if you're doing like a fashion show, like I just bought a bunch of stuff and you're trying on outfits, I am allowed to say that I don't like an outfit. I've said that. I've said
to
that.
Her.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's not about her. That's about the clothes.
But she actually
shaky
probably,
ground, my friend.
No. She wants honest
shaky
feedback.
Shaky ground.
No. I've done that with Sarah as well.
Yeah.
Really? I don't even do that.
I've got like, what do you think of this? It happened just the other day. It's like, and she had like three different things, and one of them just was not. It was not like cut well. I was like, that's not flattering to you.
There's like there's an Instagram model who like her husband. She has her husband like grade her outfits that she wears. And every one, he always gives at least a 9. He's always like, he's like, oh, that one, I kind of like purple better, but I'm going to give you a 9.4.
Yeah. I was going to say, is the last slide in that Instagram post his grave site? Because
also, what's the scale? 9.0 to 10?
Exactly.
Every single one is at least a 9.
But I think the Bogus and Perloff house, I work at the same. My wife buys like 5 outfits and always plans to return 3.
Right.
So she needs actual honest feedback. That's the approach.
I don't know a lot of women who are asking their husbands for that advice, but you know.
Not
for fashion advice, but I'm just saying, guys, like, just make your lives easier. Just lie.
Am I just super lazy? Like, what? Because, like, you're just saying that Andrea does that all the time, too, where she, like, buys all these outfits and then says, I'm going to return them.
I'm going to tell you why.
I don't want to spend the energy to, like, package that stuff up or go back to the store.
Exactly.
I'm never doing that.
I'm not trying to go back to UPS.
Guys, how little you know about women.
Damn right.
This is why women do this. And this is 100% the reason why. And this is the only reason why.
Why are you guys like this?
Because the mirrors in department stores don't tell you the truth. First of all, I don't want to try anything on in a department store. That time in my life is gone. And the mirrors lie. They're all skinny mirrors. You have to get home to your home base mirror to know actually what it looks like. That's the only reason. That's it.
Yeah, but there's also a subset in this, which might be like one of those girl math things. Yeah. And it probably is efficient, but like my wife will also order the same thing in multiple sizes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Knowing that one, I'll return the other. That seems like too much work for me, yet ordering one, getting it, and going, oh, this is too big or small, let me return it and get the correct size is now more work.
Because the key thing there is you order online, right? Like, my 15-year-old doesn't even know what a department store, by the way.
Is Alexander's open this weekend?
Butterscotch candy at the department store? What are you talking about? Mirror? My wife buys 100.0% of her clothes online.
Yeah.
And there's no mirrors.
And then when it comes to returning it, when do you get your money back? 5 to 10 business days afterwards. Yeah. I want my money back now.
Oh, that's the worst.
Maggie apparently shops at Gimbel's.
Great around Christmas. Sit on Santa's lap.
Yeah.
The hell are these places?
Oh, man. I can't shop online. I have to do everything in person.
Wow.
Really?
This is...
That's incredible.
So you have Amazon just to watch the football.
I know, so I really need Al and Kirk to kind of pick it up a little bit.
The fabulous Miss Maisel.
Well, okay, so your husband isn't giving you honest feedback on your clothes.
Because I don't ask him.
You should bring it to the crew here. We'll evaluate. But look at the stylish crew we got going here.
Perloff, I wore a jean jacket the other day, and you called me Brooks from Shawshank Redemption.
I noticed that.
Advice from you guys?
Yeah.
How's the grocery store going?
Just to go a quick tour, Manny's wearing
like
a Yankees t-shirt. Brooks has a Portland Timbers jersey. EJ, I can't see. I assume that's a wrestling t-shirt.
It's an X-Men shirt.
X-Men.
Oh, okay.
Yes, Gambit and Rogue, Mr. and Mrs. X.
I'm wearing a plain blue navy sweatshirt.
Perloff always looks a little like a narc because you have the black hat on and the glasses and the
you
sweatshirt.
You always say a black hat is narc. Like,
yeah.
I was going to give you Kyle Shanahan today.
A little flat brim.
Yeah. And a hoodie. If you had a play calling sheet in front of you, you'd be a coach right now.
I actually told my wife, I find it really annoying you always call me dark. All hats are black. You can't buy non-black hats.
Manny's wearing a white one.
I know. I can't find white hats. Like, I specifically bought that Carhartt Phillies hat because I knew because there was like a really cool black one. Like, I have to wear black hats. There just aren't other kind of hats out there. Most hats, there's a big time.
Can we just go back to our fight? Because you just said another sentence. Like, I don't know how to process. You can't buy anything other than a black hat.
Well, I just like every time.
I don't know how to work with that sentence.
Every time. Because obviously that doesn't mean I physically am able to buy a hat. Like, that's how people speak, right? That's how me and my friends talk. Which you would never be, apparently.
I know. You've made that abundantly clear. You were right at the beginning to dismiss me.
I can't imagine you sitting around a table with my friends. You'd be so like, what is going on here? And you'd speak and they'd be like...
Well, here's the real
deal.
This trip
to San Antonio is going to be awesome.
I was going to say.
Now I have to do it.
Bogus is going to be on the side of the road somewhere in like Missouri. There's no shot he's going to make it all the way to San Antonio.
Well, part of the road trip was to go.
This update is brought to you by Springfield, Missouri.
Part of the road trip idea was that I see friends along the way, but apparently.
I wouldn't do that.
No.
Bogus wouldn't understand what the heck we're talking about.
No.
Because we speak like guys? I don't know. Yeah, exaggerate.
Manny,
of course.
Come get me. I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Is that on the way to San Antonio?
Yeah, if you go south.
We have a Little League game in 16 hours. We can make it.
Well, we blew that update, folks. Will you hang out with us?
Sure.
Okay.
Couldn't leave my pearl off.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Nick Costos from You Better You Bet will join us, make you a little bit of money. We're asking, will Jerry Jones ever live down this Micah Parsons trade? Parsons was awesome last night.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. Didn't get to our update last segment. Too busy chit-chatting about how you need to lie to your significant other about how they look, what they're wearing, their appearance in general. And it goes both ways.
Sorry, I'm a little confused. It's so weird. That's Dave Matthews, right? I didn't know he had another song besides Crash.
I knew you were going to do that. Let's get to Bogus, who's got the latest headlines. What's up?
I'm impressed you didn't know that was Crash. I hope everyone enjoyed the Tucker Kraft game.
And faking the handoff. Love rolls right, throws end zone. Tucker Kraft, touchdown, and a Lambeau leap to the north end zone stands. They beat Will Harris on a beautiful play fake by Jordan Love.
Wayne Larrivee. On Packers radio, Kraft caught six passes for 124 yards and that score. Those the most yards by a Packer tight end in a decade. The TD catch reestablished a two-score lead for Green Bay in the fourth quarter last night. They beat the Commanders 27-18 to start 2-0 for the first time since 2020. Jordan Love, 292 yards, two touchdowns, just 200 yards on 42 attempts from Jaden Daniels. He was sacked four times among 21 pressures.
They did a great job of their scheme, and it's a really good football team. So at the end of the day, you know, only week two. We'll learn from that. We got to get better. It's a long season.
Micah Parsons, three hits on Daniels. He shared a sack, and he drew three penalties. Manny, no pressure but pressure. J.J. McCarthy is just 22 years old. Uh-huh. He is an NFL starting quarterback.
I'm familiar.
He has a fiance, and now he's a dad. His son was born yesterday.
Why, bro? You got so much time.
They mentioned that on the broadcast.
Yeah.
I think it's a girlfriend from high school. Like, they've been together for a really long time.
Yeah.
All right, bro. Congratulations, buddy.
Enjoy the batting cage.
Well, Manny, you're about to be an uncle. Soon.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Woo!
You're doing great, pal. Yeah. Keep it up.
Thank you, bud. Thank you, Max.
That's super fun, man. You'll love that.
I sure as heck hope so. Yeah, we still don't know what the baby is, but he or she is going to have a Knicks onesie. It's going to be one first thing that he or she going to wear.
Yeah, no, being an uncle and aunt is great.
You give him back.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I can hang out with him or her for 2-3 hours, and then once he or she starts crying, here you go, Los.
Yeah, fat lard.
Talking about his brother.
Yeah, Manny's love for his brothers shows in weird ways when he called him a pile of grease. Anyway.
Pete Rose.
A drop of sweat. You can make five strips of bacon with that kid. Anyway, Pete Rose.
It's a fun little sibling rivalry you guys have.
Pete Rose once gave Joe DiMaggio a shower. Aaron Judge about to give Joe D a new spot on the Yankee home run list.
1-0 pitch to Aaron. Swing and a drive. Deep left center field. Looks like he's done it again. Giddy up. Go. Into the bullpen again. Another home run for Aaron Judge. Now. His second tonight. 46 on the season. It ties Joe DiMaggio for fourth place. On the all-time Yankee franchise home run list.
I believe it's 361 career homers.
Dave, I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower.
Sims on WFAM, which is also where Pirro said that, right?
That I don't know.
Yeah, I think
I just found it in the system.
The Yanks avoided a three-game sweep from the Tigers 9-3, but they remain three games behind the Blue Jays in the AL East.
Hey, man, we're going to make the playoffs.
That must be nice. The Las Vegas Aces clinched the 2 seed in the WNBA postseason with their 16th win in a row, 103-75 in L.A. That ties for the second longest win streak in league history. Asia Wilson, 23 points and 19 rebounds.
Oh, my goodness.
And the UEFA Executive Committee putting a temporary hold on the Barcelona-Villarreal match scheduled for Miami.
Ugh.
They want to talk to all involved, including fans, before letting La Liga move this match to the States. Over 400 different fan groups throughout Europe have petitioned against clubs moving league games overseas.
We are so broke. I don't understand how one of the best clubs in the world, one of the most successful clubs in Spain, is just so broke. We still don't have a stadium. We don't even know if they're going to play this weekend because the stadium's not ready. This team is incredibly broke, and it's one of the best clubs in the world. I don't understand what is happening. They have to move games to the United States just to have a place to play, and still we can't even get that nailed down.
What on earth are you talking about, man?
Wow. All right.
I didn't know that I was going to get all that in the back end. I just thought this was a soccer story.
Well, now I'm kind of curious. They don't have an American owner, do they?
No. No, we do not.
All right. Well, folks, thank you for that. Let's go to Mark, who's in California. We've been talking about the Packers, and while they were super impressive last night, especially the defense, Mark, we're wondering why are these games a little bit closer against Commanders and the Lions than we thought?
Well, my point is, and by the way, I love your show.
Thank you.
My point is the Packers played the Commanders. The Commanders are one of the best teams in the NFL. So are the Lions. The reason why the game was close is because they're playing two of the best teams. They went just as deep as the Packers went last year. And plus, the thing is I played linemen in college for 4 years. I played offensive guard. Linemen want to run the ball.
Yeah.
The game plan is not to blow the other team out. The game is to win the game. And that's why they ran the ball. The reason why the Bears lost to the Vikings is, and actually McCarthy didn't play a bad first half. He played within himself, and then they made adjustments, and they wore down the Bears. Caleb is not capable of winning games. He's too young. And so, and then when they got away from the run, that's why they lost the game to the Vikings. So the effort is, the reason they play these games, the coordinators,
I know.
They don't want Jordan Love to
throw the ball, stop the clock.
To lose the game by throwing picks when they have one of the best running games in the NFL. So that's
right.
The goal.
Okay.
The goal
Mark.
Is not to lose the game by throwing interceptions.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Appreciate that. Thank you for the compliment, too. First of all, I didn't think that the Commander secondary was not hanging with the Packers wide receivers, like, at all. I mean, Marshawn Lattimore was getting toasted in this game.
He's toast, yeah.
Okay, well, and this was a bad performance from the Commanders' defense. Their offense left a lot to be desired, partly because the Packers' defense is so good. And I thought the Commanders' defense was not very good at all. The thing is about this being close and these games being close, you're saying because the Commanders and the Lions are really great teams. But the numbers actually don't bear that out. The Packers were doubling up the Commanders last night in terms of yards, passing yards. Like, the score was close, but the game did not feel close at all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I mean,
like, numbers-wise, the Packers were destroying them. The final total yards, Packers had 404. The Commanders had 230.
But a lot of the plays that Green Bay had, like, think of the throws that Jordan Love was putting a dot 40 yards down the line. The one that the guy caught, Malik Keith caught on the sideline, was a crazy catch. The one that got called back was when Jordan Reed caught it was a crazy. That was a crazy catch. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The one thing, they had no answer for Tucker Kraft. That was a big issue for the Commanders. So basically, I'm not sure I agree with that. I think that if this game was played in Washington later in the season, we might see something different. This was a short week. And that Giants game was actually quite physical for the Commanders. They were on the field a lot. I do not think, I think you're jumping to conclusions about them. But he's right. LaFleur likes to run it. I mean, there's no doubt. He's kind of always been that way a little bit. I think Rodgers was annoyed by him.
Well, listen, you saw that the Packers were actually holding a little bit of something in the back pocket, because all of a sudden when it was a one-score game, what was LaFleur doing? Some weird jet sweep, wildcat, you know, started to get into his bag a little bit more. This was not, he got more risky as the game got tighter.
No. He did not throw the ball in the second half like he did the first half, though.
No, but started to go towards some of these more unique plays and stuff. It was a one-score game. He had to, right?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.